To kick off each hour of our pledge drive with prayer, we've asked the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Atlanta to lead us in prayer.
This is Riley Gilmore
and Henry German,
eighth graders from St. Jude the Apostle Catholic School.
Our favorite things about St. Jude are band
and that we get to have a religious activity every Friday.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
O most holy apostle St. Jude,
faithful servant and friend of Jesus, the name of the traitor who delivered your beloved master into the hands of his enemies has caused you to be forgotten by many. But the Church honors and invokes you universally as the patron of hopeless cases, of things almost despaired of. Come to my assistance in this great need, that I may receive the consolation and help of heaven in all my necessities, tribulations, and sufferings, particularly, and that I may praise God with you and all the elect forever. I promise, O blessed St. Jude, to be ever mindful of this great favor, to always honor you as my special and powerful patron, and to gratefully encourage devotion to you. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Listen to 1160 AM, The Quest.
Thank you, St. Jude the Apostle Catholic School. I'm Dave Savage here on AM 1160, The Quest. And if you tune in at this time regularly on a Wednesday, you're going to hear a show called The Family Room. And that's with Craig Wiesmeyer, Mari Cleveland, and John Gordon. And what a coincidence. We have them in here right now. Hi. That is fantastic.
Good it's to great to be here, David.
Yes. We are glad to be here. So welcome into the family room. It's a little different today because we have our pledge drive going on. And usually, as you guys know, if you're a regular listener, like Dave just said, you know that we start with prayer. We always usually get an amazing prayer, Holy Spirit-inspired prayer from John. But today we got a beautiful prayer from the kids at St. Jude the Apostle, which happens to be my parish. So I was
awesome.
happy to hear them pray for us. So we're going to just dive right in because we've got amazing guests here with us, and some of you who've been long-term Family Room listeners will actually know that our guest, one half of our guest couple today was actually
half of our guests. We brought the other half for you today.
Was actually one of our very first guests in the Family Room when we kicked off 2 years ago. So yes, we are so excited to have Ryan and Melissa Foley here with us today, and Craig is going to introduce them because he is good buddies with them.
Melissa looked at me like, uh-oh, what's he about to say? Yeah, no, like Mari just said, like we have Ryan and Melissa Foley, who, great couple that have actually been in ministries for a number of years. And as we talk about a quest for holiness, you know, we really want to dive into, number one, the ministries that they're doing together, and also, frankly, how they do it together. You know, when you look at married couples, number one, not all of us can work together because one of us dominates or tries to and the other one smacks us and doesn't let us. But you two have found a way to really make it work in a great way. And by way of introduction, Ryan, welcome. You have, you're the executive director now of His Way at Work. Is that right?
Yes.
That's awesome. And then Melissa, you have, you've grown your ministry.
We have.
Quite a bit. And you have Resurrected Life. Is that right?
That's right.
Awesome. So let's start, John, though, by we know your story a little bit, Melissa. I think we need to find out Ryan's story a little bit. John, you want to?
Well, let me just say it a different way. Ryan, yes, would you tell us a little bit about your faith story? My French is a little rusty.
No, okay. Seriously, we got an inspirational conversation with Melissa 2 years ago, but we'd love to hear what's going on, you know, how Ryan got to where he is today.
Yeah, and she, I would say, is part of my story. So
not surprised.
A little later in life, but I grew up in a family of six siblings. My father and mother were still very alive and very faithful Catholics. I would say faith was extremely important to my parents. My dad in particular, even as we later in life when we're discussing what, you know, what should we do as a career and what job would you like? And you know, at the time you're throwing out everything from longshoreman to, boy.
Rodeo clown.
Rodeo, no, not rodeo clown.
You weren't supposed to tell that.
My father was really indifferent to those kind of activities and more like, hey, just whatever you become, make sure you get to daily mass, be a man of faith.
Wow.
So we really didn't go deep into careers, but that was critical growing up. I would say though, we didn't particularly have it wasn't witnessed particularly. We weren't actually we weren't praying like the rosary every night, and we weren't there weren't like active formators in your life, because at that time I think your parents really exemplified the virtuous life, and you kind of watched more than were spoken to. I'm not saying a combination of both wouldn't have been better, or but at least for me, it was watching my parents live out their vocation in marriage. My father was in the FBI for 30 years, and just watching his commitment to service and to the country. So we went to, I mean, probably a very typical childhood in the faith, as well as the faith was something we did ever. I mean, we went to church every Sunday, but it wasn't something that I fully, I mean, I never stopped going to Mass. And actually the first real commitment that I had to make was when I joined the Air Force. And I actually left college on my way home. I joined the Air Force, and I came into the house and told my mother, and she was kind of mortified that you just joined the military on your way home. But my father was like, well, that's, you know, that's a path. But when you join the military, that is a moment when you know you're, well, anytime you leave home, you have to make a decision. What are the things that are going to be important to me that when nobody's around? And even though it was difficult, my first duty station, actually in basic training, the faith is the only thing that you have foundational that you is still yours. They take everything else from you. But when they allow you to go to Sunday Mass, probably if you weren't even going to Sunday Mass, you're going to go to Sunday Mass just to get out. But that first confession was probably, I hadn't gone to confession in a long time. That first confession was just a tearjerker. And it just, I just kind of from that point forward, really leaned into my faith, went to Sunday Mass all through the military. Happened to then, well, by God's providence, I met my bride in the military. And we subsequently got married. And just that enriched my faith life, because Melissa was a convert. And when the faith kind of comes to real life is when somebody says something like, well, we've had a child, let's start contracepting. And that's when it's like, well, no, we're not going to do that, because, you know, our Catholic faith says we're not going to do that. And but Melissa was never really satisfied with why just accepting all the norms still as a convert. I think everything from, this was back in the day of Catholicity, Catholicity.com. So I was working at Lockheed Martin at the time. I'd just gotten out of the Air Force. And Melissa asked questions every day that actually I could tell you, because the church says so, but it made me go deep into everything from Mary to the Eucharist to confession to, you know, the saints, whatever. And I compiled a binder, and thankfully we had the internet just out then and was still Catholic Answers, kind of like two pillars at the time, Catholic Answers and maybe Catholicity. I put in extra time at work and just devoured during the day things about the faith, and then would come home and Melissa and I would engage on it. But very early on too, so our faith became really a key part of who we were as a couple. And I think we moved 7 times in the first like 7 years of marriage, just around. But we always ended up next to non-Catholic families. And so there was a point, this was in Pleasanton, California, where we're like, maybe we're just called to be missionaries and like move every year. And we land next to a non-Catholic family, and, you know, they somehow see the beauty of the Catholic faith and want to become Catholic. But so in a sense, we have become missionaries, and we're all called to be that as Catholics. But that's essentially, in a nutshell, my father still goes to daily Mass, 6 a.m. Mass. I think he prays one rosary a day for every sibling or something like that. So just a big, our faith is very critical to us, very important.
One difference between the Family Room, the regular shows, and the Pledge Drive ones, I interrupt every now and then when we're live here.
You have even more power.
Yes, I do. So we'll get back to talking with Ryan and Melissa Foley in just a minute here on the Family Room. But I just want to jump in. We got a lot of great information here. First of all, this is the Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive, and we need your monthly donations is really what we're looking for. That whatever amount that is, we want to get 100 new monthly donors between now and tomorrow evening. So you can do that by calling 470-508-1160. You can go to the Quest Atlanta app, or you can go to thequestatlanta.com. Now, here's the deal. We got a lot of great stuff here. Here's some incentive. As if all this great Catholic programming wasn't enough incentive for you, we've even got more incentive because we've got matching funds. $2,000 up until noon today. So I don't want to leave $1 of that matching funds up there. I want it all used. So if you want to donate $100, well, now it's a $200 donation. Okay, that's the way that works. And also, the next two donors are going to get a gift card. And I'm going to mess. Whose Spanish is good here?
El Jineta.
What is it?
I think the J is pronounced like a Y. El Jineta.
El Jineta Mexican restaurant.
So let me just tell you, it's a really good Mexican restaurant. It's close to the house. Go there all the time.
Close to your house, maybe not my house.
Jump on board.
So, but we've got two gift certificates to that restaurant. So
it's worth it.
Absolutely. So whatever you're going to donate, it, as John says, it's worth it. I also want to take just a minute to give a shout out to Maria from Cedartown. This is in honor of Father Tim and Deacon David, who were on last hour. I hope Father Tim and Deacon David are listening in the car right now, because Maria says, great reminder on holiness being unique for each of us. Mary from Cleveland. I'm going to assume that's Cleveland, Georgia. Blessings for Melissa and Ryan Foley. Do you know Mary in Cleveland?
We do know Mary in Cleveland. Thank you, Mary. We'll take all the blessings from you we can get. Yes.
Also, Karen in Atlanta. This is for Carrie Allen and Mari Cleveland for sharing your beautiful devotion with us.
Aww.
And also, I'm going to assume this is Ave, A-V-E?
Yeah, yep. Ave.
From Atlanta, and this is for Mari. Ave says she likes the family room.
Thank you, Ave. Ave is, talk about a holy woman. Oh my goodness. Aww. Yeah.
So that's so awesome. And I just want to remind everybody that no matter what donation you make, so right now we've got the matching funds, we've got the gift cards to
a really good Mexican restaurant.
El Jineta.
I think it's Jineta.
Jineta. That sounds good. I like, we're going with that.
Speak with authority and an accent.
We also have that, but also all donors, no matter what, how much or whatever it is, as a thank you for your donation, you're going to get one copy of the Magnificat magazine.
Ooh.
And if you already subscribe to it, give it to somebody else. Leave it at the bus station. Whatever, you know, it'll be get put to good use. But anyway, that's enough of my interruption. I'm going to get back to the family room here on the pledge drive.
Thank you, Dave. And thank you all you, everybody who's donated. It's very thoughtful, and we are very thankful for your donations. So, Ryan, thank you for sharing that. Sure. What a beautiful story. And, you know, we are talking about the quest to holiness. And I think that's what we heard in your story, that your dad just lived a very, and I assume your mom as well, lived a very holy life. And you're drawn into that. I think that anytime there's somebody who is trying to be, who is drawing near to God, right? So God says, be holy as I am holy, you know, as you draw near to him. And that's a draw for people. Like you said, when you moved seven different times in the first 7 years of marriage, God was bringing people to you for them to see and to observe what it looked like to be a couple who was striving for, seeking more of God, seeking holiness in what you did. So that's beautiful. So we got to hear from Melissa last time. We are so thankful for Melissa giving us her time. So listeners, if you don't already know, we are podcasted as well. So you can go onto our website at questatlanta.com, or you can go onto our Quest Atlanta app, or you can also go onto Spotify or Apple Podcast or whatever. And all of our family room shows are podcasted, and Melissa is number 4 and 5.
4 and 5.
From September, okay. End of September and beginning of October of 2021, 2 years ago. And so we had a great conversation with Melissa. And you know, we still quote you, Melissa.
Oh, yeah?
We do.
I am really excited about what quote that might be.
Well, you know which one it is? We talk about the barbed wire all the time.
Oh, you do? Really?
We do.
Oh,
it stuck with
God.
Us so
okay,
much.
No pun intended, the barbed wire stuck with us.
Stuck
that was
in
good,
you.
Usually it's John who does those dad jokes.
Oh.
So, yeah. No, really. Hey, I'm sitting. It rubs off. It rubs off. I'm hoping the holiness is rubbing off at the same time, John. Yeah. But you have got, as Craig mentioned, you have got Resurrected Life Ministry.
I'm sorry. Can I interrupt? But yeah, what is the barbed wire story?
Oh, okay. You're right. You're right. For those who haven't listened, you want to tell us about barbed wire a little bit?
I will tell you briefly about barbed wire. We were talking about that in context of marriage, actually. Yeah. Interestingly enough, not only marriage, but also in any relationships that we have, that sometimes we're walking around the world and we unintentionally can very upset someone a lot. So if you think about in the context of marriage, you can be, you know, just going about your day and all of a sudden upset your spouse tremendously, provoked, right? Mm-hmm. And so we were talking about why that might be and giving a visual for the context for that, as imagining both of you are wrapped in barbed wire. And some of those barbs are embedded more deeply in places than other barbs. Some of them are more superficial and some of them are deeply embedded, even, this is gross, but infected and really sore. Okay?
And those are all from past wounds,
these
right?
These are from past wounds, exactly.
Yeah.
And so when we go around and sometimes we do something and we are bumping up against one of those barbs. Now, sometimes if it's a superficial one, you might just get kind of upset about it. But if you hit one of those that is very tender and very sore, it's going to send the other person to the roof, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise known as triggering, dysregulating, if you want to use words like that. So we talked a lot about how are we in relationship with other people when everyone has these barbs and what
invisible,
to do.
Invisible barbs,
yeah, yeah. Right? So Ryan and I have practiced. I'm glad Ryan's here with me because we have practiced this.
Oh, boy. Now I'm nervous.
I'm going to tell you how Ryan hits my barbs. No, just kidding.
Boy, I wish we had video. Yeah. Yes, no.
But Ryan and I have actually practiced this imagery and applied it in our marriage. Mm. And so if I notice that I very much upset him for some reason unintentionally, this just happened the other day, and I see that he's upset, it really is a moment for both of us to remind ourselves that we're on the same team.
Mm.
We are not enemies. We're on the same team. Something just happened and I don't know what it is. He might not even know what it is. And so it's a moment where we step back and go, okay, our Lord is trying to heal something in us right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really a moment to prayer, to go back to prayer and to engage our Lord. What is it that hurt?
Yeah.
It's probably not something exactly that I said. It could be something I said or the way I said it, and it's triggering something from the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, you take your boxing gloves off, and it's really not about what it's about. So it gives us a chance to step back and say, okay, because my responsibility as his wife is to not do that to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so now if we're able to discover what that barb is and to avoid that barb in the future and let our Lord heal that over time, that's my responsibility and how I can help him.
Yeah.
In marriage.
Well, and that ties back to the quest for holiness, right? Whether it's in ourselves or in our marriages, right? Mm-hmm. What am I willing to sacrifice or frankly sit with the Lord and say, I don't want to revisit something in the past, but obviously something's here that has caused a problem and we need to deal with this, which is the only way to holiness. And obviously in marriage, it's a great way to go to holiness.
Yeah.
It's a scary way though. I mean, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
No one really wants to engage in a past hurt.
Right.
It feels big. It feels scary. And we shy away from it all the time. But our Lord, he's funny because we think what it's going to feel like is ripping open this like gaping wound and going to the source and ripping our heart out, and it's going to be horrible. But really what happens
if we did it for each other,
it would probably look like that. But if you allow our Lord to do it, it doesn't look like that at all. It doesn't look like that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as you were describing that, part of the imagery that I loved was that you were on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
This was, you were now fighting with Ryan, or Ryan was fighting with you, just like our Lord fights with us and for us. And I think that's the other piece of this. Sometimes is people think, like you said, if I open this up, then, oh my gosh, I can't let God see how deep and dirty and awful any of this is, but he is for us. So you just started describing, by reminding us of the barbed wire story, you kind of just started describing a bit about your ministry. Mm-hmm. So what's happened with Resurrected Life in the last couple of years since we've been with you?
So in the last couple of years, I was invited by our Sunday visitor to give a talk that's like one of those TED Talks. I don't know if any mm-hmm. of you have seen those. But I gave a TED Talk on the lies we believe about God. Mm-hmm. And they produced this TED Talk, one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. 14 minutes and one take. That was it.
One take.
Wow. It was really strange.
Well, I would say you rocked it. Go check it out.
Really?
We did see it.
We watched it. It was amazing. Anybody can see that on resurrectedlife.com. But yeah, it's there. It was very difficult. But when we did that, the people at our Sunday Visitor invited me to, gave me a grant to start a website that provided many, many more resources to people in mostly online. We still work in person here in Atlanta. But Resurrected Life is all about what it sounds like. It's bringing people from these past wounds and to start to live into the resurrected life. So we are a healing ministry that provides resources online and in person. That's what we do.
That is wonderful.
It is. And I just want to jump in here once again. We do have one gift card left to El
Jinete.
To an awesome Mexican restaurant in Roswell.
Thank you very much. Well, there's one of those left. If you want to donate, that's going, whether it's a one-time donation, monthly, whatever. Also, we've got the matching money still on the table here. So up to $2,000, and that's only going until noon today. So make sure that you take advantage of that. I mean, if you were to call right this minute, you could probably get that gift card to El Jinete. Did I do it?
Attaboy,
the Mexican restaurant. The number is 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. The Quest Atlanta app, you've got that on your phone. You just hit the little donate button there, as well as the questatlanta.com. It's there as well. We also want to thank Brenda in Woodstock in honor of Melissa and Ryan Foley.
Brenda.
So thank you, Brenda.
Thank you so much.
I know Brenda. So, and also, one other thing I want to mention too is that Mari, John, and Craig, as well as the Foleys here, you're volunteering your time mm-hmm. right now, and there's a reason for that. You do this weekly show because it's an avenue, I guess, for people to learn, I guess, about themselves and to help bring them closer to Christ, and. You know, you don't get anything out of it monetarily.
It's a quest for holiness, Dave.
Yes. But I guess what I'm getting at, I mean, you all see the point. Yes. There's a reason for doing this.
Yeah.
And a reason for being on here on the quest. And we need to keep that going. If you want to keep Catholic Radio alive so that we can bring you shows like The Family Room. I know a lot of people, I mean, just... You know, I just hear from people, and they say they get a lot out of The Family Room. And many of our other shows, too. You've got to keep it going because it doesn't happen for free. Mm-hmm. There are hard costs that we have. You know, electric bills. We've got to pay rent on the studio. We've got, you know...
All this equipment.
In fact... you wouldn't be hearing anything from Melissa right now because she's got it. We got an extra microphone.
Yes. Your donations.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. We wouldn't have had enough microphones in here had we not had these donations. So all these little things add up, and that's why we need your support. We come on twice a year, once in the spring, once in the fall, and we ask for your help. 470-508-1160 and the Quest Atlanta app, also thequestatlanta.com.
Well, thank you very much for that. You know, our quest for holiness, it's funny. We often think of it as our own personal quest for holiness, but quite frankly, our quest for holiness is for other people. You know, when Dave mentions why we do the show, for our own holiness, but also to help bring other people to that love of Christ. And I know, Ryan, you've been blessed for a number of years to work in ministry, mm-hmm. whether it's now His Way at Work or it was Covenant Eyes. And you've helped with the, unfortunately, I hate to say this, you helped with Exodus because I have taken way too many cold showers because, yes, because of you.
It's good for you.
Can you talk a little bit briefly about each one of the ministries, but really focus on His Way at Work and how you think that quest for holiness ties into what you're trying to do with it.
Well, me and Melissa, we always talk about hobbies. Like, I have no other hobby than apostolate. Mm-hmm. So it's just what I enjoy doing.
And what is apostolate for people who don't know technically?
It's really, you could call it ministry. I mean, it's really, for me, it's and I think for Melissa, it's looking out in the world, seeing where there's vice and bringing virtue, or where there's not Christ and bringing the light. Or, you know, any kind of idea. I have lots of ideas that I always enjoy, actually, even on planes. I travel quite a bit and just... whoever's next to me, like, what do you do for business? And like, what's the thing you could fix in your business if you could? Just the curiosity around, and we've talked a little bit about, you know, where some apostolates I'm thinking about right now. I actually have a board, a whiteboard in my office with actual check boxes next to it. Melissa was surprised, like, you actually check your boxes.
No, that you make a box.
Yes, and I make a box and I check the box. But it's just innovative ideas that I'm thinking about, and like, I'm going to do that. So Covenant Eyes I worked at for 11 years, and previously had worked as the executive director for the Mission Network here in Atlanta.
That's right.
Overseeing about 11 different apostolates. One I took on myself called ePriest. So I've been running ePriest since 2012. So we provide homiletics, liturgy question and answers, parish practices. So we've been doing that since 2012, now creating a new series with a few priests on a new homiletics, the four senses of each gospel, Sunday gospels. So I don't know, it's kind of, for whatever reason, it's a little bit of our blood. We probably were like the perfect match because it's a shared hobby of apostolate and seeing the world through just how can you affect the world? So Covenant Eyes, I worked at for 11 years. And from that experience, probably the best company I ever worked for. And it was really because I would say at the core of it, Covenant Eyes really cared about the dignity of every employee. And we had a great mission, of course, and we attracted people to a mission that was to fight pornography, to step into people's lives, help them to break free or not start.
And Covenant Eyes was that it was on computers, right?
Yeah,
so it was to help people keep people from getting into porn on computers, people accountable.
To create accountable relationships. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I still use Covenant Eyes. Melissa gets my report. I get hers. We get the kids. So we're an accountable family in that sense. You have the freedom to go do what you want, but freedom, usually with accountability, you tend to make better decisions when you're accountable.
Absolutely.
So it keeps you out of trouble, but at the core, putting aside the mission of Covenant Eyes, there was just a deep Christian worldview from our owners. They were not Catholic, but they appreciated the dignity that everybody deserved. Not in even a sense the permanency of work. Like, you weren't entitled to a job here, but I would say you would have had to do something pretty significant to lose your job at the company, because they're working with you. How do we overcome this issue you're having or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
The threat of losing your job was not there. So you had this a sense of permanency of work, which I think is, there's something dignified about that. And it really, after 11 years, Peter Friesel, the founder of His Way at Work, somehow I tried to just consult. You know, I had consulted for a lot of companies, from Hallow to Exodus 90 and some others, on just kind of growth. How do you grow apostolates in the church? How do you build yourself into the framework?
All right, we're going to come back with that. David, are we going to a break?
We are. Would you do that now?
Sure.
That'd be a good idea. Okay, we will.
You're listening to the Quest for Holiness Fall Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. If you're moved to make a pledge, please call 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. Or you can go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Remember, The Quest is 100% listener supported, and we rely on donations and pledges from people like you to stay on the air. We'll be back to the Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive shortly on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
In today's world, cybersecurity is critical for your business. Award-winning VerseBright provides solutions to protect your company from hackers. For protection now, see VerseBright.com. That's V-E-R-Sprite.com. The Quest thanks VerseBright for their support.
Women and families in need of pregnancy support do have options. Pregnancy Aid Clinic, a Catholic pregnancy resource center in Metro Atlanta, offers free medical services, advocacy, parenting classes, baby supplies, and more. If you need help or can help, go to PregnancyAidClinic.com.
AM 1160 The Quest would like to wish a very happy birthday today to Father Paul Burney.
Happy birthday!
Please join us in the gift of a birthday prayer for Father Paul Burney from you, our listeners, as we say, God our Father, we give thanks to you for Father Burney, whose birthday we celebrate today. We thank you for his devotion to you and the role he serves as a shepherd of the church. May he enjoy the beauty of your love today in many little ways. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you want to know what's going on at parishes and other events in the Atlanta Archdiocese, just go to the events calendar at thequestatlanta.com. You'll find events like these.
A Fatherhood Mentoring Class is a series of classes from the Pregnancy Aid Clinic that happens each Wednesday. It offers support and learning opportunities for fathers-to-be. It's an online class.
Christ Our Hope is expanding their outreach with a kickoff event leading up to their 40th anniversary as a parish. The Legacy of Hope Gala is Saturday, September 23rd, with keynote presenter Archbishop Hartmeyer.
The Respect Life Ministry of St. Bridget Catholic Church is having a Respect Life dinner and a movie night Saturday, September 30th. There will be a catered dinner and the movie Life Mark, a true adoption story of love and life.
For more information on these and other events, click Events at thequestatlanta.com or click Contact to get your event added to the Quest event calendar.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi.
What started as a summer day at the park with her kids became a life-saving encounter for Melissa Albin of Lyndhurst, Ohio. As reported on the Today Show's website, Albin had noticed a stranger staring at her intently. The stranger finally approached her, saying, "I'm really sorry if this is weird, but I've been looking at the mole on the back of your arm, and I'm wondering if you've ever had it checked out. I'm a dermatologist, and it's very concerning to me." That incident led Albin to follow the stranger's advice, and it's a good thing she did. The mole turned out to be the deadly skin cancer melanoma. Thankfully, it was in its earliest stage and therefore very treatable. Albin said, "I thank God for that stranger every day."
This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
During September, the Quest is highlighting the corporal works of mercy.
Matthew 25, verse 40.
"Whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me."
Feed the hungry.
You could identify organizations that feed the hungry and help them. The fourth episode of Archbishop Hartmeyer's podcast, Peace and All Good, is about an organization that feeds the homeless. It's at AM1160, thequest.com, and the Quest Atlanta app. Listen for other corporal works of mercy on AM1160, The Quest.
The Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. Make your pledge or donation by calling 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. Or you can go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Now back to the Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And we'll be back in just a minute talking to the family room here, Mari, John, and Craig, and we have the Foleys here, Ryan and Melissa. And on the pledge drive, and we were just talking during the break here, and Melissa, you were saying that you would do something special for somebody who requested a prayer.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoy the Quest, especially the family room. I'm a little particularly heart in love with the family room. But anyone who wishes to provide a donation today for the Quest, I am happy if you were to send your prayer request in today along with that donation. I can see your names, and I'm happy to pray for you and whatever intentions that you would like me to today.
That's awesome. And I suppose you could even do it anonymous if you want.
Oh, sure, for sure. Yeah.
And it's funny, too, and I don't want to take up too much time. I know you got a lot of stuff to get to. But we were talking on one of the hours yesterday how men, especially, don't like to ask for prayer for themselves. I have a hard time with that. I know Carol one time, I was having something go on. She said, did you write it in the prayer book? We have a book of intentions in the chapel. I said, well, no. I said, because it's for me. I'm not going to write in a prayer for me. And she's like, no, why not? Do it. Yeah. And so even if this prayer is for yourself, don't feel like you're being selfish.
Yeah.
You can definitely
do that.
Well,
it's not selfish because as someone who has the gifting for prayer, all these gifts are for other people. So if we're not being asked to utilize those gifts for the benefit of the person, then it just, I mean, what are they for?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to mention is that Melissa does have that beautiful spiritual gift of prayer. And that's it's a way that God loves and heals people through Melissa. So let her do that for you. That's great. Thank you.
So I've just been informed that the El Jinete gift certificates are gone.
Oh, good. Thank you.
I know it's a great restaurant, but I have a hard time pronouncing the name. And also, I need to mention, too, we've got the matching funds going on up until noon, up to $2,000. So please make sure you're calling in 470-508-1160. And I'm going to turn it back over to the family room now.
And if there's anybody from Smith's Country Kitchen, could you send gift cards? Because it's just a lot easier to say your name.
Smith.
Or Jones.
And close by your neighborhood.
I was going to say, another restaurant Jen really likes.
I didn't know if that exists, but it's so easy to say.
That's funny. Well, right before the break, we were talking to Ryan about some of his apostolates or ministries as we know them here. Can you dive back into his way at work? Because it really seems to have dovetailed off of what you were doing with Covenant Eyes.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of talking about the culture of care that Covenant Eyes had. And actually, in some ways, all the employees would always be like, could they throw more benefits at us? Like, could they care more? Like, this is kind of over the top. But I went to when Peter invited me to come over, and I was consulting for a little bit. And I had, that is my normal practice is, and actually Covenant Eyes gave me a little bit of the freedom to do that because it's just helping apostles grow. But it felt like in this case, usually there's three things that make apostolates, at least my experience, them really take off. It's somebody, whoever is kind of founding it, is kind of ordained to do it. Like you can just tell, like, this is their passion. This is where they're ordained to work. They have the capacity, like the ability to do it, to carry it out. And they're deeply rooted in prayer. Like these three things seem to make apostolates have a better chance than others. Well, you could see this at his way at work. What they kind of lacked at the moment was some of the team. Like they didn't really have as much of a full-time team as they would have liked. So they invited me to come on full-time. It was in concert with Covenant Eyes. It was a long conversation. And actually, just to show you how much they cared, they said, hey, your 11 years is coming up in like a month and a half. So start onboarding with his way at work, but we want you to make it to your 11, to memorialize 11 years.
Oh, wow.
So just kind of shows you they're not interested in just dollar for hour of work. They're looking at like what's the best for this employee, their total vocation. So I felt like I could, having experienced Covenant Eyes, his way at work was a good fit in that I would love everybody to have the kind of the work environment. The dignity of the worker in business. And that's really what his way at work is doing right now is they're kind of working to empower and transform, or I would say the other way around, transform and then empower business leaders to transform their workplaces in God's love. Mm. Not necessarily proselytizing in the workplace, but just like at Covenant Eyes, you knew that a Christian worldview is leading. Kind of, if you think about Catholic social teaching, at the core of that is the dignity of the person from conception to natural death. And how is this lived out in business? And so what we're doing is essentially working with business leaders now, particularly now we're pivoting primarily to Catholic business leaders, to consecrate their business, to essentially invite our Lord into their business, to turn it over to him, almost to behave as administrators versus owners with that just want to keep developing wealth for the wealth's sake, turn these almost over to our Lord, invite him to the business, and then see each business as a ministry. We tend, you know, in the Catholic world, we tend to, when somebody has the inclination to be in ministry, it's like, I'm going to leave everything. I'm going to leave my job and I'm going to go do ministry. And sometimes it's like, stay where you're planted and do ministry as business.
Right.
On the non-Catholic side, maybe this is a little bit, maybe not as obvious, but seems to be what they tend to do is ministry in the marketplace is kind of how they define it, or business as a ministry. And I think we've kind of missed some of this element. So it's very difficult, as we've attempted many times to build apostolates. But if you saw or a parish or a pastor saw in his parish boundaries, like every business here is a potential ministry.
Yeah.
If we just form that owner, equip that owner, transform that owner so that he could transform his business in God's love, we'd have a lot more ministries and we wouldn't have to basically start from scratch.
Yeah.
So I think there are business owners now who have their companies are stable enough. They're not just thinking about how we make it to tomorrow. And they're thinking about how do I integrate my faith better into work? So all of this feels seamless to me. And how do I see my employees as, and really it's like a captured audience in some ways, right? How do I see my employees with the true dignity they deserve? How does this get expressed in work? And what is the methodology to do that? That's what His Way at Work does for these companies.
So I'm very interested in hearing a little bit more about that. I work in a huge company and we have great tenure. And I would argue the reason for the tenure is the core values of the company line up with the core values of most people, right? So you never have to step out of character to accomplish what you're choosing. But that's the workplace, your opinions about faith, your opinions about principles. Is there an objective truth? That's a hotbed of all kinds of things. And they all end up in HR or the lawyer's office if you're not careful, right? Yeah. So that's clearly not the case for you guys. Share some of the examples and some of the successes that you've seen that just say, hey, look, this is a smart business place to engage. Maybe some success stories or some examples to help people get their head wrapped around.
Yeah, you can see it where people are investing right now. If you go to Sovereigns Capital, the owner of Sovereigns Capital also owns, I think, Ronald Blue Trust here in town. Mm-hmm. And Movement Mortgage. Sovereigns Capital, where are they making investments? They're looking for purpose-driven companies where the core values are strong, the culture. They're really looking for companies with core culture. Like, where's the culture healthy? Emotional intelligence is there. They're the ones that are outperforming the S&P 500 because people, one, they want to stay. You never want to leave these companies. People want to get into it. My son right now is actually down at Chick-fil-A on his third interview. It's 100 days to interview there or something of that nature. He's going to go through five.
What a great organization.
Processing. Yeah. Well, why do people want to work there? Because the culture is it's loving. It's caring. It's clearly they have excellence.
You said, I want to just one more point on that. You said something that's really important because in our world, it's like in God we trust, all others bring data. So if you want to make a point, hey, I should be engaged in bringing these principles into the workplace.
100%.
You touched on a point that I think is really important. The actual financial performance in these scenarios outpaces
the S&P.
Lots of metrics that show.
Yeah.
I mean, retention is one. You could look at retention. Even at Polydex.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you'll have Peter Freisel on someday. But I think when he, before he actually started His Way at Work and before the company was, he gave it over to God. Made God the center of his company and his life. They were like losing 30% of the. They were actually blacklisted by temp agencies in the area. So you gotta work pretty hard at that.
That's hardcore.
But when he said no, God's got to be at the center of my life and the center of this company, and the company is going to have a culture where we seek out people in the ditch. We don't avoid them. This is my kind of ministry. They're now at like 3% loss. Right, which is natural for any company below.
That's excellent. That's way below.
So you just see it in a lot of metrics. It shouldn't be, the purity of intention should be God is at the center. I'm entrusting this business to him. But all the cascading consequences of that decision happen in business, and everybody's starting to realize it.
Yeah. So talk about trusting God with our business. Our business here is The Quest. So Dave, what can you tell us about what's going on now?
And I'm finding this fascinating. I'm not a business owner, but I find it like this is things I've never thought about. And I'm assuming there may be some business owners who are listening to this thinking, I never thought about it that way before. And this is the kind of programming we get on The Quest, on The Family Room every week, every Wednesday at 11 o'clock, 11 to noon. we get this kind of local programming that you're not going to get anywhere else. You're not going to get it from EWTN or Ave Maria Radio or any of the other ones. It's only here on the Quest. And, well, I mean, you can get it on podcasts like Spotify and, you know, all those other places too. But that wouldn't be up there had it not been for the Quest.
Right.
If it didn't originate here, this show wouldn't exist. And if you want local Catholic programming to not only just exist, but to flourish, we need your support. And that's why we're doing this Quest for Holiness pledge drive. If you want to make a pledge, a monthly pledge is what we're really after here. Monthly is great. If it's a one-time donation, that's great too. But you can call 470-508-1160, 470-508-1160. You can go on the Quest Atlanta app. You can go to thequestatlanta.com. And I also want to thank, there's a few people here, Lori from Roswell, we thank you. Also Dale from Marietta, you're awesome. And John from Marietta, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Just keep those coming in. Oh, and I should mention this too, that each one of those, whether they were a one-time donation or a monthly donation, they're being matched.
They got matched, yeah.
Yeah, $2,000 is what we have on the table, although we're getting close to it here. In fact, it may have run out. I'm going to double-check on that.
Oh, let's just go for it anyway. Yeah. Give us a pack.
Exactly. No, I think there's some left, so if you want to get that match, but I'm going to double-check and see how much is left as you guys are talking here.
Right. Ryan, thank you so much. It's so helpful to know that there are so many wonderful organizations out there in the business world that are treating people with respect, dignity, but they're also consecrating their businesses to God. So business owners out there. So we know that a lot of our listeners are business owners. So if you are interested in His Way at Work, they would go to hwaw.com.
That's our website, yeah.
Yep, so His Way at Work. So hwaw.com.
And there's some stuff in there, like doing the questionnaire or the survey. I forget what you call it. But you have a list of different associations or organizations to which you can belong. It's actually a great resource. Like, hey, here's some places that you can bring that you can be affiliated with to make that connection, right? There's some pretty good stuff there.
Yeah, and the website is we're enriching a lot of areas, particularly focusing on establishing chapters in dioceses and working with the bishop to establish chapters where these consecrated owners can create community, where they can be enriched spiritually, but also begin to understand the methodology and participate together, because it is scary when you say, I'm going to change the culture of my business and I'm going to invite our Lord into this. You need some backup and you need some friends around you to take that, to kind of work up the courage to do this and to follow through, because there's a lot of natural things people already think as well. What about the law and what about this and what about that and what about ROI? So we've actually even trademarked the idea of eternal ROI, E-R-O-I, is a trademark under His Way at Work, and getting people to think in that way. A lot of lovely stuff coming up.
That's great. That's great. Well, obviously, a lot of us spend a lot of our time at work, and so what happens at work does impact our marriages, impacts our families. But for both of you, and Melissa, maybe we go to you with this one, how are you seeing your ministries impact marriages and families?
Do you mean the actual ministries themselves? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, so some of the success stories and things coming out. Since we are the family room and we always like to offer ways that people can be healed and grow closer to each other and closer to Christ and just improve their have that abundant life in their marriage and families, have there been some specific ways that you've seen your ministries have really impacted people's marriages and families?
I could probably speak to Resurrected Life most in more detail. Ryan can add His Way at Work, but how does healing impact marriages and families?
Yes.
I mean, it's like the only way to impact a marriage and a family,
right?
Because what I have seen over and over again is that as a person heals in a family, particularly a husband and a father or a wife and a mother, if as much as they engage in their own healing process, that flows to your children.
Yeah.
It flows to your siblings, and it also flows up to your parents. How? I have no idea. But I have seen it happen over and over again. because the more freedom that we receive in each one of us, there's more space for the spirit to move around. Mm-hmm. And the more space the spirit moves, the more you start to see your mission unfold in front of your eyes. And your vocation gets clarified. There's more generosity there. There's more virtue that is present, right? When you think about the Blessed Mother, for example, because I love her, her mission was to be an empty vessel.
Yes.
Right? Yep. So she didn't show up here with, unfortunately, like us, with our original wounding.
Yes.
So you can see it more clearly in her and what our Lord God was able to accomplish in her because of the freedom.
Yeah.
But most of us walk around still in some prison chains, to be honest with you. And so as we ask our Lord to release us more and more, and we live more and more and more freedom, everything is impacted.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and as you say that, I think that as husbands and wives and mothers and fathers, we're trying to fix everybody else around us, right? We mm-hmm. feel this huge mm-hmm. burden to make sure that our kids are doing the right things mm-hmm. and that our spouse is doing the right things, and it's not stopping to say, okay, if I were healed of all the things that are going right. on in me.
Exactly.
Right.
How many people drag their kids to me? Help my kid. Mm. And I'm like, no, we're starting with you.
Exactly.
Right? Because, and I have seen it. I wish I could bring so many people on here for them to give the testimonies of what actually happens when the parent looks at what's going on in themselves. Mm-hmm. And as a person heals, what they think changes, what they see changes. And so how they interact with their children totally changes.
Yeah.
So what's a specific? Yeah. You say you've seen it. Give us a specific without names.
Oh, without, of course. So one of the most dramatic things that I've seen was a young man that was addicted to heroin at the time, but he had been an addict since he was a teenager, addict and alcoholic. The parent brought him to us for healing prayer. And of course, right, I pray with the young man. And when he leaves, I look at the mom and say, this is not a problem for him. It's actually what's happening in your marriage and what's happening in you that is, we're looking at partially the outcome of that.
Wow.
So we, right? So we turn and we focused all this energy on the mother in particular, because she was most willing. And the husband was involved a little bit also. And do you know, this young man is free as can be.
Wow.
Absolutely free. Hmm. Now, was it easy? No.
Right.
Did he have to hit some really hard spots? Yes. But he had parents that were able to love him in those really hard places, but love him in freedom that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
And that was very much actually what we see. And
that's a great story.
Often.
We had a guest tell us once, a wise guest said, it's never all about what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. Right?
That was me.
Oh, golly.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, suck my
Look
horn.
At that. This will be my second way I'm quoted from
yes,
now.
I was just going to say, see, we do. We told you we quote you, Melissa. So once again, for our listeners, what is your website? So
my website is resurrectedlife.com. Come and visit us and see how we might be able to help you.
Yes, and we're going to have you come on the show again.
I would love it.
It's been 2 years, and obviously there's so much that we want to hear more about. Yes.
And at a time when they don't keep getting interrupted by me.
I know,
me.
By you, Dave.
I mean, this is fascinating. This is a great hour here talking in the family room with guests Ryan and Melissa Foley. And if this is the kind of programming you like, we need your support. That's what this is all about, the Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive. And I'm going to mention this one more time, that all five of you in this room really are volunteers. And you hear these people because they have a microphone. There's, I don't know how many other people are in these other rooms that are all volunteers too.
Yes.
That are, I mean, they're up since, I mean, this place is open at 6:30 this morning. They're here doing, they could be home sleeping, you know, I mean, why wouldn't they be? But they see that this is an important mission, that this is important to have Catholic radio in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I mean, up until 5 years ago, we didn't even have Catholic radio in Atlanta. So this is a big deal. And if you want to see it not just continue, but to flourish,
and we, I mean, there's so many things we want to do. There's so many shows we want to add. I mean, I wish we could do 24/7 live and local. That would be the ultimate goal. But to do that, it takes money. We're going to do this one show at a time. We're going to try and keep adding things. But we need your help. It's the Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive at 470-508-1160. That's the number to call if you want to donate. We're looking for a lot of monthly donors, but one-time donations are great too. 470-508-1160. You can donate on the Quest Atlanta app or thequestatlanta.com. And yeah, I guess that's all I've got for right now. Yeah, we can. We're flexible, Craig. We can jump out
Perfect.
Now. We can stick
Perfect.
Around for
We're gonna
5 minutes.
We're going to keep going for another 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah, we're
Sorry,
usually
anybody
good.
Behind us.
We're usually okay. glued to that clock, and we have more freedom today.
Right,
that's exciting.
Right, exactly. But we can go into the next. I'm not a lot, but you know.
No. I get it. No, I mean, this is a lot of great content, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys have great stories of what you're doing. And again, the quest for holiness, you're really showing it through your ministries. Tough question, though. We keep talking about marriages and families. We talk about how. They're both smiling at me because they have a sense of what I'm about to ask them.
Uh-oh.
How do you really work together and make it work in a marriage where you both are in different ministries, being pulled apart, different personalities, but yet you kind of support each other's ministries, as you both said, you know, how do you do it? What's the practical way to make it work?
I'll give an attempt at this, and then you can add to it.
All right. Ryan's going to say, I just say yes, ma'am.
I mean, I think in some ways, I mean, Melissa supports me by listening to me every day about, you know, struggles and challenges. And but I would say the greatest example probably would be Resurrected Life. I'm a board member, but I think what she really needed help with were elements that she couldn't, just is not her gifting, right? My gifting is not necessarily personal company in prayer with these individuals, but setting her up for that. So building the website, connecting the you know, whether it's Stripe accounts or the apostolic side of it, the business side of it, is something I was able to directly help her with. I wanted to help her with. I'm bought in on the mission of, hey, how do we reach out to people who are in ditch? How do we help people live in more authentically themselves in this world? So when she needs help, I help her. I mean, I have my own apostolates too, which I think sometimes you're more able to help with than not. Covenant is maybe a little bit more, because it was a lot of how do we help people out of these situations, and usually pornography use is deeply rooted in some other traumas. And just watching Melissa actually go through her own healing process informed a lot of that in me as well. So we just build on each other's strengths, and we fit into the apostolate both in communicating what's happening and listening, but also where we can help each other, we try to help each other.
I think what he's trying to say is that we have learned over a very long period of time and a lot of very bumpy roads to stay in our own lane. Just stay, this is where you're great and this is where I can be great.
Yep.
And respecting each other in that way, it's taken a long time to get to the point of respecting each other in that particular way and not trying to expect me have these gifts or expecting Ryan to have the things that, you know, I have. But I don't want to paint some pretty picture over here like this level of holiness was is here or happening or easy.
Well, we appreciate that, and we are thankful that you came in here and joined us on the Family Room and showed us what it can look like when you're both supporting each other's missions to offer Jesus to the world. So, listeners, we are thankful that you're here. Then and continue to listen to the Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive, please, and join us again here in the Family Room next week, where we offer hope, encouragement, truth, and wisdom for families.
Yes, and I want to throw in one more thing. Anna from Marietta is a monthly donor.
Yay.
So thank you very much.
Thank you,
Anna.